Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our sermon this morning is recorded in Numbers. We read in chapter 21, verses 4 to 9, an event that took place on the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, one of the dangers of traveling in the desert is venomous snakes. You have to be very mindful of where you step, and particularly of where you sit. There's that old joke from Western comedies where one cowboy gets bitten and the other cowboy says, "Don't think for a minute that I'm going to suck the venom out of there." One wonders if that's, according to science, that probably wouldn't even do any good no matter where you got snake bit. But I would guess that none of us, if we were out in the desert with somebody, wherever a snake bit them, that we would just abandon them and let them die, would we? And certainly the loving God would not do that either. And that's exactly what happened that day out in the desert, along the route to the Red Sea, to go around Edom. It is a grand preview of our Savior Jesus being lifted high on the cross to redeem us from sin and death. As Moses lifted up that snake in the desert, Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Because of God's love for us, we are snake bit, but we are not left to die. Well, see, first of all, that sin is the venom in our blood that is killing us. And secondly, that it is Jesus' holy blood that is the anti-venom. Why do you have to die? Why do all of us have to die? It is because our first parents, Adam and Eve, were snake bit. They were bit by that old serpent, the devil, Satan, not physically, of course, but spiritually, as he got them to doubt God's love and God's word and to disobey him. That sin, that one sin, infects us all. You and I are dead in our trespasses, or we're dead in our trespasses, because of Adam's sin. That venomous poison of his disobedience of God kills us, and there is no way for us to escape or survive. They lost the holy image of God. And now we have that lost image of God in the sinful image of our parents. We miss the mark of perfection that God demands of us, as did Adam and Eve. Paul said in our second lesson today that we were dead, spiritually, eternally dead in our trespasses and sins, and our temporal death is the result of that sin. But our God, even though we're snake bit, did not leave us to die. He didn't abandon us. He didn't say they got what they deserved. In eternity, he determined to provide the antidote, the antivenom for us, just like he did for Israel. God in love acted toward his rebellious people. God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. He had said to them, "I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of Egypt, out of the hands of slavery. He had given them the commandments and the ceremonial laws and the civil laws for all the reasons we talked about a couple weeks ago. And what was their grateful reaction? They said to Moses, "How come you brought us out in the middle of this wilderness to die? There's no bread, and we hate this miserable manna that we got to go out and pick up every day in order to eat. There's no water," forgetting that God had struck a rock earlier and had given them all the water that they needed. So they mumbled against the Lord and rebelled against him. And they mumbled against Moses and rebelled against him as the leader that God had placed over them. And in judgment, God sent venomous snakes into the camp. And when one of those snakes bit you, you died. There was no escape. The people came to realize their sin. They came to realize the seriousness of what it means to rebel against God. And so they went to Moses in godly contrition, acknowledging their sin, looking to the Lord for mercy, and going to Moses as their mediator with God, asked them to intercede on their behalf. And with a pastoral heart, also himself not holding any grudges, not saying serves him right for grumbling against the Lord to be bitten by these venomous snakes, Moses' heart went out to them. He loved them too and didn't want to see them die in the desert. And so, as their pastor, he went to them, as pastors do, and interceded on behalf of God's people. To go to the Father on behalf of his children and plead for mercy for their rebellion and their mumbling and their murmuring against the Lord and maybe even perhaps against him. But Moses went to the Lord and prayed for the people. The people who said, "We have sinned against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." And when Moses did, God heard his prayer and answered that prayer and gave Moses the solution, the antidote. He told Moses, "Make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole and set it in the middle of the camp. And tell the people, when you get bit, look at that bronze snake and you will live." Now, you realize, of course, that it wasn't the looking that saved them. It was what they looked at. It was what God provided for them to see that saved them. And so any Israelite who took God at his word and in faith turned his eyes toward that bronze snake by the power and mercy of God that he had put in that, they lived. They did not die from their snake bites. So God said, "Make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Those who believed in the object that God had provided survived death. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and asked some pretty good questions, like, how can a man be reborn and enter the kingdom of God? How can a man be saved? Jesus told him, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever looks on him will be saved. So Jesus referred back directly to this solution that God had provided in the desert. If I would ask you, what's the very first Bible passage that comes to mind? I would guess that many of you would think John 3:16. And if there's any Bible passages that you've memorized and you remember from catechism, John 3:16 would probably be it. Very good, clear, concise gospel in John 3:16. But we don't want to forget John 14 or John 15, because there Jesus is talking and he mentions it twice in comparison to this event in the desert. That just as Moses lifted up that snake, he had to be lifted up. The venom, the poisonous venom of sin that courses through our blood and kills us has only one antidote, only one anti-venom. And that is him, Jesus Christ, our Savior from sin. And we want to remember that behind that bronze snake, as the reason for God's mercy on Israel, was the lifting up of Jesus on the cross in the future. So it was really even with the bronze snake, Jesus being lifted up, that actually was the mercy that saved them from death. The Apostle John uses the words "the world" more than any other gospel writer. Over 100 times in the gospel, John uses the world as a description of the people for whom Jesus died, meaning everyone. Everyone who has ever lived was the object of God's love, God's forgiveness, God's redemption. God invites everyone to look at the Christ lifted up on the cross, because that's what the cure, the only cure for that spiritual death, for that eternal death, the only thing that turns temporal death from a curse into a blessing, is the lifting up of Christ on the cross. Those who look to Jesus Christ in faith have the benefits of what Jesus did for us. And again, it isn't the looking that saves us. It's the one we look at, the one we see, the one whose blood was not poisoned with the venom of sin, the one who never was guilty of doubting God or questioning his word or disobeying his will. He is the one who has called us out of condemnation to salvation, from eternal death to eternal life. And as Jesus says, and we sang in the hymn, who has broken the darkness, who has called us out of the darkness of unbelief into the light of faith. We have Christ's blood that saves us. When you hear the expression, to be snake bit, what do you think about? What do you think is the meaning of that word? When you look it up, it says to be snake bit means to suffer a lot of misfortune, to suffer a lot of, seemingly more than anybody else, a lot of bad luck of things that happen. Well, that's not what it means here. What we have suffered and what we suffer is not bad luck. It's not misfortune. It's what exactly we deserve. We deserve spiritual death. We deserve eternal death in hell. We deserve for our lives to end because of sin in the world. Not only our father Adam's sin, but also our sins. We deserve to be left to die in the desert of this world. But God has not deserted us. We're snake bit, but God has not left us to die. He provided His Son, His one, and He so loved the world. And that's a soul of extent, of degree. The degree to which God loved us is that He didn't even spare His own Son. That whoever believes in Him, He is the answer, the solution, will have everlasting life. God has loved us in Christ by His holy blood on the cross. Jesus died even though His blood is holy. God did leave Jesus when Jesus was on the cross. God did forsake His Son on the cross. Not because He deserved to die, but because we do. And because He was paying for our sins and suffering our death. He is that light of our salvation. Whoever lives by that truth, Jesus told Nicodemus, comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done in connection with God. You and I are the children of light. We live in the light of God's grace and mercy. And in that light, we can see and others can see that everything we have and do is done in connection with God. The fact that we're redeemed, the fact that God has called us into His church, the fact that we have that saving faith and keep that saving faith, the fact that we do good works which God has in advance prepared for us to do, the light of God shines on that, and we see that all of that has been done in connection with God. It's all been done in connection with Christ, so that no one can boast. So that no one can say, I have saved myself. Or that another human being, mere human being, has saved me, but only Christ. Moses closes this account in Numbers. Remember, Moses was writing this about what had happened, with a strong statement. Then, when anyone was bitten by a snake, he and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. So Moses stated a simple fact, God's word was true. Look at it and live. Those who looked at it lived. And twice, as I said, Jesus mentions in John that just as that happened, people who look on Him will live. Then He said, God so loved the world, so that those who look on Him and believe will have eternal life. Jesus says, when you look at Him on the cross, so that everyone who believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. One cowboy may be hesitant to suck the venom out of another cowboy who's been snake bitten. Most likely, as I said, it wouldn't do any good. But God the Father did not hesitate to step in and to give His love to us. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. The Lord God has not left you to die. Look to Jesus Christ, lifted high on his cross, and live. Amen.